What is the Holy Spirit of God saying to you, and what are you going to do about it? Are you getting tired of hearing that question? No, I hope not. It's a really good question to ask because it keeps us in tune with hopefully where the Spirit of God is moving and what he's asking us to do. In the Gospel of Mark today, we have this beautiful account of the kingdom of God coming near people and what happens when the kingdom of God comes. It's absolutely astonishing, and the people that were there were absolutely amazed at what happened when the kingdom of God showed up. It's this idea of the kingdom of God has come near you. Repent and believe the gospel. Right? Someone really famous said that. The kingdom of God has come near you. Repent and believe the gospel. When the kingdom of God comes near us, we have a choice to make. Every single time it happens, we have a choice to make. We are not able to be neutral or non-committal one way or the other when the kingdom of God comes near. We're either going to ignore it and go on our own way, or we're going to repent and believe. It's this Kairos moment that I mentioned to us some months ago and occasionally bring back, hoping that we will recall this and remember it. When the kingdom of God comes near, the natural order of things that we're used to is kind of upset. And things begin to be set right. Things that are out of order are brought back into order. People that are lost are saved. People that need to be healed receive healing. People that need to experience deliverance do. Priorities change. All of a sudden, the things that were important to us in our sort of fleshy mind are no longer important to us because all of a sudden we see things with a new lens in light of the kingdom of God. There's always an invitation when the kingdom of God comes near to repent and believe. In this account, in the Gospel of Mark, the kingdom of God comes near. And I want to walk through this with us today and sort of trace what's going on, because it can help not only inform us as to who Jesus is, but also it can help guide us in our own reaction and response to the gospel when the kingdom comes near and how the Holy Spirit is speaking to each one of us. So Jesus and his disciples go to Capernaum, right? They're there, they're doing their thing, and the Sabbath comes around, and so they go to the synagogue. Now, the scene in the synagogue back then would have been, you know, there's someone there that's kind of the head of the synagogue, and they would invite other folks to be able to expose the scriptures to people, to open up the scrolls to read, and then to teach on them, right? And so it wasn't necessarily the person that was the head of the synagogue who would do all the teaching. There were other scribes that would do that. And Jesus was invited to be able to do this. And so he enters the synagogue and he teaches. And they are astounded at his teaching. Now, you know, they've heard teaching before. They've heard it quite often, probably. And the scribes would have been doing some of the teaching there, and the scribes would be pretty much offering what they had learned. They would be sort of parroting back what they had learned, what they had studied, and that sort of thing. And it was that he taught it with authority. Authority. It was different from what they were used to. They were used to being taught, you know, from the way the scribes would do it, and I'm sure the scribes were doing their best to do what they could. And, you know, as such, they were called rabbi. They were revered by the people. They had the best seats in the synagogue. They had the best, you know, opportunities and things. When they walked into a room, everybody would stand up, that sort of thing. And then here comes Jesus, and he pretty much blows the doors off of people. They are astounded at what they are hearing because he teaches with authority, not like what they were used to with the scribes. And so people came to the synagogue that day. You know, maybe like we come to church on Sunday sometimes. Maybe we're excited to come to church and we're looking forward to it. Or maybe we're thinking about the football game that's going to happen after worship. Or the fact that it's really cold. Or whatever other distracting thing is on our hearts. Or maybe we came to church because we were dragged here by somebody and we didn't really want to come. It could be the same thing in the synagogue, right? Maybe some people were there because they really wanted to be there. Some people were there because they felt like they should and other people would talk about them if they didn't come. Or maybe some people came because they were dragged there, literally. But all that fell away when Jesus started teaching, because he taught with authority. And even the people that didn't want to be there probably went, "What? This is different." The kingdom of God was coming near to them, and the air in that place had changed, and something amazing was about to happen. Just then, there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Someone came to church, and they were possessed by a demon or demons. What? How about that? That's interesting, right? In our modern culture today, we don't like to admit that demon possession is a real thing, or that demons are real, or that even Satan is real. And here we are. Just then there was in their synagogue, right with them all, someone with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The kingdom of God was so near, and the scriptures were being opened with authority and power in such an amazing way that the demons freaked out, right? I mean, they went nuts. They knew that it was not going to go well for them. You know, when the kingdom of God comes near, that natural order of things gets upset. Impossible situations are turned around because of the power of God to transform lives. That lost cause, that lost case that you're thinking about right now is not ever lost in the eyes of the Lord. Because he speaks with authority. Because he has ultimate power. And so Jesus says, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him, and they were all amazed. So let's back up for a second. People came to the synagogue from all different places that day. Some of them had a fight in their family or something, you know, they were grumpy, they didn't want to go, but they came. Some of them were excited to be there, some of them got dragged. And then all of a sudden, things change. The kingdom of God comes near. Everybody's heart is pricked. You know that sense when the Holy Spirit is starting to speak to you and something is going to happen. And it's in that moment that we need to pray that our hearts would be pliable and would be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because we want God to be able to work in us what he would like to. Even if it costs us something, you know, even if it means that we leave something behind that we love, He wants the best in our lives, and he is the only one that has the power to do some of these things in us. It's clear in scripture here. So people come and they listen, right? They're listening with varying degrees, and then they really listen. And then, because of the way that Jesus teaches as one having authority, they begin to believe. They begin to sit up and pay attention and say, "There's something about this. I don't understand it. But I know it's for me, and I know that I better listen and be ready, because something is about to happen." They begin to believe, they're amazed, they're astonished, they begin to believe, and then the kingdom of God blows the doors off everybody as this person who was possessed of some unclean spirits is delivered of them. It's an amazing thing. And they say, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" And so when the kingdom of God comes, there's transformation that happens. transformation in the lives of every single person there that saw that. The most obvious splashy transformation was in the life of the guy that was possessed of demons, right? He convulses, cries out with a loud voice, and he's delivered, you know? That word for possessed in the original language here means that those demons controlled this person, and he had given himself over to them. It was kind of initially on his part a submission to them, and then they took over, is what the original word kind of points us to in the understanding. And so it's interesting that in other places in Scripture where it talks about being committed to Jesus Christ and being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a very similar word, that we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit leads and guides and directs us. But this man had lost everything to these demonic powers, and he was never going to be free. You know, back in those days, people tried to deliver people from demons and that sort of thing, and it kind of became a magic show. You know, there's lots of gyrations and hand motions and incantations and this and that, and drink this and rub this on your body. And you know, there was a lot of stuff that went on. And it was like a circus, and people were supposed to be impressed when something happened. And Jesus doesn't do any of that because he has authority. He just says, be silent and come out of him. Boom. Done. No fancy dance, no hocus pocus, right? And so this man's life is transformed, and all of the people who saw what happened were also transformed because they realized that the kingdom of God had come near, because they realized that Jesus was speaking with authority. And it says they were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, who is this? A new teaching with authority. It's because he wrote the book. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And at once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding regions of Galilee. So when the kingdom of God shows up, things happen. Word spreads. People can tell a fake from a mile away. And now, the reality of the power of Jesus Christ to change lives has moved amongst these people. And they know that something awesome is happening, and his fame starts to spread throughout the surrounding regions of Galilee. You know, periodically throughout history, there have been revivals and moves of the Holy Spirit and things like that where people repent and they believe the gospel. Repentance seems to always come first in these situations. There's repentance, and then the power of God is released in amazing and mighty ways, and fame spreads about it. It's why we read about things in our history books from 250 years ago, when amazing moves of the Spirit happened, and other times in history, on the West Coast, up in Canada, things have happened. The kingdom of God comes near, and stuff happens, and it's happening around in our communities as well. New England, I was chatting with somebody, I think this last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, just thinking about that grim statistic that 2% in Vermont claim to be born again followers of Jesus Christ. New Hampshire beats us with 3%, and Maine is 4%. I don't know what Massachusetts is. Yeah, 3? Okay, yeah, right. So it feels like an insurmountable thing. It's not, though. If God's people will repent and believe the gospel, the kingdom of God comes near, and the Spirit of God will use you to bring the kingdom wherever you go. These folks were all talking about it. They were all giving God glory, basically, for what happened. Whether or not they even realized it, they were lifting up God and saying, look at the power to change lives. You would not believe this would happen in Vermont. There's a revival. What? It's going to happen. It's coming. Pray. Seek the Lord. Learn everything you can. If you have business to do with God, Do it. Get it out of the way so that there's nothing in between you and how the Holy Spirit would like to empower you and lead you. Don't be limited. You know, I'm not trying to come down on you. I'm trying to encourage us all and say, what is there that we need to get out of the way with the Lord to repent of, that he might have full reign in our lives? That everywhere we go, as the scripture says, the fragrance of Jesus Christ would be with us. That would be amazing. You walk into the butcher and pantry, and people think, something's coming. Right? I mean, we laugh, but it's true, it could happen. We shouldn't be limited. We shouldn't limit God with our own low expectations of what could happen. So I opened with that familiar sentence, that question, what is the Spirit of God saying to you? And what are you going to do about it? It's a good question to ask every morning when you get up. You think you have plans for your day. If you'll turn your day over to the Lord, you'll have some plans. It'll be awesome. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this account that we get to explore in the Gospel of Mark and in other places where hopeless cases were brought around and changed, Lord. We lift up to you our own lives. Lord, we lay before you those things that we are holding on to more tightly than you, Jesus, and we release them to your care. We place them at the foot of your cross that we might not have anything on the throne of our hearts except you, Jesus. Lord, we pray now for any of us that are battling addictions, any of us that have demonic oppression in our lives. We pray that you would deliver, that you would heal. Lord, we do thank you for your authority. We thank you that, Jesus, you wrote the book and that these words are yours and that they have power. And that hopeless cases can have hope. Lord, even for us. God, we pray that we would repent and believe the gospel. We lift up this community to you, Lord, and ask that your Spirit would just break this place open, that hearts would be drawn to you, that stirrings inside people that they haven't felt in a long time would awaken, Lord, that they would be drawn to you, and Lord, that wherever we go, we would be the fragrance of Christ, and that we would live our lives in such a way that the gospel of Jesus Christ would be exposed to people, and that they would ask good questions and receive answers from your Holy Spirit. So Lord, we wait with expectant hearts, with listening ears, for what you will say to us as your kingdom is brought. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.